So on the way here, I was gifted with a beautiful garland. You can see it has so many silver sparkles in it, and it's so beautifully made. Well, every morning in Javat, Srimati Radharani, feeling separation from Krishna, she makes a beautiful garland, millions of times more beautiful than we can imagine, and millions of times more beautiful than this one. But this one can give us some indication, somewhere to look. So she's given she makes a beautiful garland for Krishna, and then her girlfriends, her maid servants, they take that garland very carefully wrapped up, very wrapped up in beautiful cloth, and they place it in their arms, and they head towards Govardhan. And what they've come to do is they've come to hand this beautiful garland from Srimati Radharani to Krishna, because he's feeling so much separation from Srimati Radharani. And Radha doesn't take anything that isn't the remnants of Krishna. She doesn't take any bhoga. She doesn't think, oh, this is a nice thing, I should have this. Everything, every decoration that she wears is only for the pleasure of Krishna. Everything is for his delight. So this beautiful garland comes, and the young girls come and they bring the garland. And sometimes Krishna is busy. Sometimes even he's been waylaid by Saibhya or one of the opposing party gopis, and they've invited him to go to Chandra Sarovara, which is very near to here, or to Gauri Kund, where Chandravali might be waiting. So they're very expert, the maid servants of Radharani, and they very cleverly telling some clever lie or something, whatever necessary, some trick, they entice Krishna back to some place that is suitable for the meeting of Srimati Radharani. And then, as part of their, to increase his eager anticipation, they give him this beautiful garland. And when he receives the garland and places it on his neck, he begins to tremble because he can experience the presence of Srimati Radharani from the beautiful garland that she has sent, which is full of her love for him. So then he gives them back something, maybe his gunja necklace, or maybe even the same garland. But he gives them back something and says, you take this to her and tell her that I will meet her at such and such a place. So then they take the same garland with great care and they wrap that up in the same way and they return to wherever Srimati Radharani is. And they give that garland to her and place it very carefully around her neck. And in this way they save her life when she's feeling so much separation from Krishna. Because even for her one moment, yugyayatam namishena chakshusha pravishayatam shunyayatam jagatsavam govinda virahena me. Even one moment for her, one blink we were hearing, is like millions and millions of lives, millions of yugas, in fact, to be apart from Krishna. So the intensity of the love, the loving affairs of the residents of Vrindavan, is so wonderful, but it is beyond our comprehension. Now we've come to the bank of Manasi Ganga. Manasi Ganga that we're looking at is also transcendentally wonderful, to see the rocks of Giriraj in the center, and to see this over here, this temple, this Mukharavinda, which is like the mouth of Giriraj, where he eats whatever offerings are given to him. And over here we see the place of Sanatan Goswami's bhajan, and also the place of Chakaleshwar Mahadev. So we will hear something about these other wonderful places as well. But mostly Manasi Ganga, even though we can see only a small body of water, is actually a very strong flowing river. And this river has been brought to Braj by the arrangement of Krishna. It is the Manasi Ganga. So this Manasi Ganga plays many, many important roles in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Primarily, the most significant and the most well known is that they have so many wonderful boating pastimes here. So sometimes the young girls of Braj, they come here with their pots on their heads, carrying their milk and their yogurt and their butter and so forth, and they come down to the bank of the Manasi Ganga and they see that there's no boats. So how can they cross to the other side? is not just a little kund like this, but it's a very strong river. So they look here and there to see if there's a suitable boat. And over on the side, they see a very old boat, not looking very healthy. Just if you look around the corner here, you can see a boat, and it's looking a little old. So to your right. So they see an old boat, and there's a boatman, but he's sleeping in the boat. So they come down to the bank of the Manasi Ganga, and they look at the boatman. He's not looking particularly strong, but he's there, and at least there's a boat. So they wake him up, and they ask him, "Boatman, we want to take a boat across to the other side. Can you please accommodate us with all of our milk products and so forth?" And so in a drowsy kind of an apathetic way, he agrees. So they all place their milk pots and everything in the boat, and they start to cross the Manasi Ganga, which, as we're saying, is far greater and wider than what we can see now with our eyes. And as they start, as he starts to row, he's not rowing very, very strongly. He's rowing and rowing. And then all of a sudden they notice a little leak, because the boat is so old. There's just a small leak. And so they become a little disturbed. And they think, "Oh, well, we'll keep an eye on that." And they keep rowing. He keeps rowing slowly, very relaxed, calm across the Manasi Ganga. And then they notice that the water is coming in faster and faster and faster, and the boat is starting to fill. So then they look at the boatman, and they're all young girls, and they're a little concerned, and they say, "What should we do?" And he says, in a very casual way, "Well, the problem is there's too much weight in the boat. My boat is old, so there's so much weight in the boat." And he looks at their milk products and the pots, and he says, "You should throw all these heavy pots over the side. If you throw all these pots out, all the milk, everything out, then the boat will be all right." So they very seriously throw all their milk pots out into the Manasi Ganga, and they float and sink into the waters. And they row on, but the water's coming in more and more. So they, again, they express their anxiety, and again he says, "Yes, the problem is weight. So the way you can solve the problem is you should take all your beautiful gold jewelry off, all your necklaces, all your bangles, all of your beautiful ornaments, and throw them all into the Manasi Ganga, and then we'll be all right." So fearfully they take off all of their beautiful ornaments, and they throw those also into the Manasi Ganga. And he keeps rowing, and the water keeps coming in. And then his final suggestion, the one which they don't accept, is when he suggests to them that now, maybe you should just throw all your clothes into the Manasi Ganga. And then they become angry with him. And they say, "What are you doing? We're trying to get across the river, and you're teasing us in this way, and you're not even rowing fast. What's happening now?" So they become very upset with him. And then, as he's rowing along, all of a sudden they see, from underneath his chadar, his shawl, there's a flute sticking out. And then they all look at each other, and Lalita Devi particularly, she points this out to Srimati Radharani, and they all then understand who it is that's rowing this boat. And then all together they say to the boatman, "If you don't row faster and get us across the Manasi Ganga, to relieve us of the weight in this boat, we'll throw you overboard." And Krishna says, as the boatman, no, I promise I'll row faster, don't worry. But by this time they're aware of his tricks. And in so many loving ways then they exchange pastimes. Sometimes he rows out to the center, and then the boat becomes miraculously without any hole, without any cracks. And they row around Manasi Ganga for hours and hours and hours in a sporting mood. Sometimes clouds come up in the sky, And a big storm comes, and they're very worried, and they cling on to the boatman, who then they realize is their beloved Shamasunda. And in other times, different ways they perform this pastime. So Manasi Ganga is particularly a favorite spot for the devotees to come here and remember these loving, intimate pastimes, playful pastimes, where Krishna teases the gopis in an endeavor to increase their love for him in this pastime of boating. Over here at Mukharavinda, we can see here on the right in the temple, there is also one Giriraj Shila that is worshipped very formally by all the pilgrims. In fact, generally speaking, when many personalities start their Govardhan Parikrama, they begin here traditionally by offering puja to this very large Giriraj Shila, circumambulating Manasi Ganga and then proceeding on around and returning back to the same spot of Mukharavinda. So Giriraj is like a peacock, and his eyes are Radhakund and Shamakund, but his head is down towards his chest, just like sometimes you see the peacocks if you watch them here and there. Their neck is long and graceful and very flexible, so they can turn their neck down so that their beak is down towards their chest. So Manasi Ganga Manasi Ganga Mukharavinda is like the beak or the mouth of Giriraj. So I'd like to also ask both Maharaj and my husband to share with us some of their pastime stories that they can remember that have taken place here in Manasi Ganga, if that would be to their pleasure. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. I will just very briefly say something philosophical in regards to boat, the boat leela. It's very interesting that in our spiritual tradition, ferrying someone across the water is a spiritual motive which comes up again and again. For instance, there is a very interesting story about Lord Rama and a boatman. Once Lord Rama so I will tell you a little bit about boatmen now. Krishna, that boatman is my theme. When Lord Rama was going in exile, he came to the Saroju River. He had just left Ayodhya behind, and millions of Ayodhya Vasis who wanted to go with him in the exile. So he came to the river and he saw a boatman. His heart was heavy, Sita's heart was heavy, Lakshman's heart was heavy, as they entered the boat of the boatman silently. And the boatman rowed them across the Saroju River until they came to the other bank. And then Lord Rama motioned with his eyes to Sita's necklace. "Give the necklace," he said with his eyes in a silent way, to the boatman as a payment. So Sita understood. She was going to the forest. She was leaving everything behind. So now her beloved Lord wanted her to give her necklace away. So she took it in a mood of surrender and gave it to the boatman. But the boatman said, no. I do not take any prize. Lord Rama, we here in this area have one habit. One boatman will never take payment from another boatman. Lord Rama thought, what? I've just given everything up. I go into the exile. How have I become a boatman? This is too much. And he said to the boatman, how have I become a boatman, please? What is... The boatman said with a very much movement in his voice, yes, you are a boatman. Whereas I ferry people from one river to the bank to the next, you ferry people from the one bank of the ocean of birth and death to the other bank. And I will not accept any payment from you. But this means you cannot accept any payment from me. When my time comes, I expect you to bring me from this side of the world to the spiritual world. And do not look for a payment. Yes, we have the habit to not take payments from one boatman to another. Just like I don't take a payment from you, you should not ask for a payment from me. In other words, do not look for any qualifications which I have. There's another boatman in our tradition, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's a song by Lochan Das Thakur, "Brothers, brothers, do you see the ferry of our ferryman Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He will carry us all across the ocean of birth and death." The holy name is the boat. The oars, rowing instruments, the rudders, the ruder, are the association of the devotees. Why do you stand on the shore? Why do you not enter the boat of our Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Get into the boat, fast! Don't stay on the bank. So, here at Manasi Ganga, another boatman is there, Lord Krishna, who ferries the gopis across. And I want to point out your attention to this one little detail. As Krishna rows the boat across, there is one little detail. He asks the gopis to feed him because he says, "I'm very weak and I'm not sufficiently strong to row the boat across. Give me something to eat." So they feed him out of the yogurt pots and butter pots. Then Krishna takes his rest. After eating, a cultivated person takes a rest on the left side. And he belches, and the gopis, "What are you doing, boatman?" After some time, they wake him up. "Come on, now row. Don't be lazy, it's getting late." And then Krishna continues the rowing, but then again he demands surrender. He says to the gopis, there is a weight problem, water is coming in, like Jagatarinya said to us, throw the pots across. And then, after the pots are rowed across, Krishna wants even more. He wants to see the soul naked, all covers put away, and says, "Now take your clothes. You must relieve yourselves of the clothes." I personally think in this Leela, there is a great lesson for all of us. The lesson is not that the lesson is that if Krishna is going to row us across, we will have to surrender to him. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna expresses this in the well-known verse, "Sarva dhammang parijaja mangikam sharanam vraja." And Sanatana Goswami has explained yesterday, we must throw everything from the board, everything away, which somehow keeps us separated from Krishna. That is what he wants. There's a beautiful painting, and I wish I could magically produce it now. It's Krishna is there very blissfully with his flute. The gopis are highly worried. The boat rocks back and forth. And Krishna says, "Yes, we can reach safely, but you must throw your pots away." Now the reason why the gopis entered the boat was to bring their pots across to Mathura. In a similar way, Krishna may come into our lives. He may step into our lives. All of a sudden, he may be there, and he may demand, "You must throw this particular plan away, which you have made, in order to reach." He may desire from us that we give our health is thrown away temporarily. He might desire many things. And my dear devotees, the faster you give it, the faster you give what still separates you from Krishna, the easier and faster the Lord will row you across. This is a transcendental place where passage, where we have to think about our own passage back to Godhead, where we have to apply the boat leela to our own lives. If we want to reach safely to the other side, we will have to surrender to Krishna, not according to our terms, but according to Krishna's terms. If you think about this, then your heart will be in ecstasy, and you will feel like jumping into the Manasa Ganga. Here also there was one great devotee, it is said, who had a very special experience with Srimati Radharani and Sanatana Goswami appearing to him. This devotee absolutely did not want to preach. He was a very reclused hermit and lived in Braj. But one day he came to the bank of the Manasi Ganga, and he received very clear instructions of Srimati Radharani and Sanatana Goswami from the other side. You must preach. And he asked, how? I do not know Sanskrit. Surrender. By surrender. And he made his resolve to preach, and then it said, the knowledge which was necessary to preach was revealed in his heart. It's a long story, and I must say I should have read it before to tell it in detail, but this is the gist of it. So Hare Krishna, Purijan Prabhu will now bring us deeply into the river of another pastime, I suppose. I just wanted to bring that Krishna Leela into your practical grace. In our tradition, there are many ferrymen, and these ferrymen are all transcendental. They bring us from the bank of death to the other bank of eternal life. But we will only be in that ferry. We will only be in that boat if we decide to surrender sincerely to Lord Krishna's plan. This was a little preaching point. I hope it was appreciated. Here is now our Purijan Prabhu for you. Hare Krishna. Jai Jai Shri Radhe.
After we heard yesterday how from Jagatrini Ma how Srinivasacharya and Narottama Das Thakur and Shyamananda Prabhu, how they were studying under who? Does anyone remember? Srila Jiva Goswami. Where? Yes, in Vrindavan, but where in Vrindavan specifically? Radha Damodar, yes. So, one day, Srila Jiva Goswami decided that part of their education would be learned or concluded by touring the holy places of Braja to see the places of Krishna's pastimes. But he was wondering who was exactly the right person to take them. And just as he was thinking like this, one great devotee named Raghava Pandit arrived. Raghava Pandit, also known as Raghava Goswami. We're going to visit his place of meditation at Govardhan later. But soon as Raghava Pandit arrived, he said to Srila Jiva Goswami, I am planning to tour the holy places of Braja. And Jiva Goswami said or suggested, could you please take these two with you? This Narottam, Srinivasacharya Narottam, and Raghava Pandit agreed. And those two immediately came, and Raghava Pandit embraced them both, and both of them felt great ecstasy to be touched by the alms and be the object of the affection of this great soul. So as they were walking around Braja, they came right here. And Raghava Pandit pointed out that over there, that is the bhajan place of Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami had several places for his worship here in Braja. One of them is Pavan Sarovar, one of them is Gokul, one is, of course, by the Dwadasa Ditya Til, Madan Mohan Temple. And this Chakaleshwar, which is a Shiva temple, one of the Dikpals or protectors of the Dham, is right over there. And Sanatana Goswami's Bhajan Kutir is very close to the water, just opposite where I'm pointing over here. Now, so Raghava Pandit said, and this I'm reading from Bhakti Ratnakara, the fifth wave, O Srinivas, see over there Chakratirtha, which can fulfill one's desires. So please, everyone, look at Chakratirtha, because it can fulfill your desires. Now be very careful what you're desiring, though. Chakratirtha, he said, is very famous. Radha and Krishna perform their swing pastimes here. And also just behind that is the disappearance place of Sanatana Goswami. In the Brajabilastava, who wrote Brajabilastav? Raghunath Das Goswami. It is described, Shankarshanakun, Brahmakun, Kadambakandi, Kusuma Sarov, Rudrakund, Apsarakun, Gauri Tirtha, Chandra Sarov, the two Ripapamochanakundas, Malaharakunda, Aristakunda, and Indra Dwajabedi are splendidly manifest along with many other famous holy sites such as Chakratirtha, Govardhan Hill, and Ratnasingasan. Let me offer my obeisances to these places. During the spring season, the gopis move Sri Gandhava Giridhari on a swing, Junanyatra. The faces of the divine couple blossom with happiness by tasting the nectar of these swing pastimes. I worship Govinda Stal, the famous place where the divine couple enjoy these pastimes. O Srinivas, Raghava Pandit said, by the order of Chakratirtha, Sanatana Goswami resided at this place. See his cottage in the forest over there? Every day from here, with determination, every single day, he would perform the 12 kosha, 24 miles, parikram of Govardhan Hill. And seeing the difficulty taken by Sanatana in his old age, one day Gopinath appeared before him. Is Gopinath here today? Yes, okay. Gopinath appeared before Sanatana Goswami in the form of a coward boy. And Sanatana, with tears running from his eyes, he tried to conceal, to hide, to cover how tired he was because he was so elderly. And every day, 24 miles, every day, circumambulating Govardhan Hill. And then Gopinath, even though Gopinath, Abba Bolo, Abar. Abar, Gopinath, bolo. So Gopinath spoke sweetly to Sanatana. In this old age, you should not take so much endeavor. Dear Swamiji, please follow my advice. And Sanatana replied, whatever you say, I shall certainly follow. And then the coward boy climbed Govardhan and brought one Shila marked with his own footprints. In sweet words, he requested Sanatana to accept this Govardhan Shila marked with the footprint of Lord Krishna. From today, he said, just circumambulate this Shila, and thus your vow of daily parikram will be fulfilled. Saying this, he gave the Shiva to Sanatan in his cottage, in his kutir, and then he disappeared. Then immediately, just imagine how Sanatan Goswami felt. He had seen Krishna, and then Krishna disappeared, and he immediately became so anxious. And then, seeing Sanatan's condition, Gopinath affectionately revealed his identity. And wet with his own tears, Sanatan then repented, "Why have I not recognized the Lord when he came right before me?" And in this way, Sanatan remained under the influence of intense love for Sri Brajendra Kumar, who sports in the flower groves of Vrindavan forest. Raghava Pandit also pointed out, he said, "Also at this place, Srimati Radharani along with her sakis came, and taking the boat, she crossed the Manasaganga from this ghat." In this way, the desires of all the gopis headed by Lalita were satisfied by Srimati Radharani. In the Stavavali, in the Govardhan Asraya Dasaka, it is said, and please listen carefully to this, "Who will not take shelter of Govardhan Hill, where the divine couple enjoy their boating pastimes in the Manasaganga?" In the Manasaganga, Madhava, taking the role of a boatman, took the sweetly beautiful Radha on his boat. At that time, Radha became frightened by a great storm and prayed to Krishna to rescue her, to which Krishna agreed only after claiming the fee of the fulfillment of his amorous desires. I would like to read something about Sanatana Goswami that Raghava Pandit described to Srinivasa Narottam. This is one of my favorite sections, and it is very sweet because it really describes the wonderful heart of this exalted Vaishnava. Raghava Pandit spoke to Srinivasa Narottam, "Let me describe for everyone's purification about the wonderful character of Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan always considered the Brijbasis more dear than his own life. As Sanatan Goswami performed Braja Parikrama, Sanatan Goswami also wandered around in Braja, viewing the places of Krishna's pastimes. Actually, it is also described how Brajanabha, Krishna's great-great-grandson, after Krishna's departure from this world, he himself survived the devastation of Dwarka, and he came when Arjuna, as described in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, Arjuna came with Krishna's queens to Hastinapur, and Brajanabha came at that time, and he was installed as the king of Mathura, and practically the first thing that he did was wander all around Braja, and he found all the places, because there were people still, everyone knew where Krishna had performed each and every one of his pastimes. So he established deities, and he also renamed the different villages and the different places after the pastimes. So therefore, in Braja, everywhere in Braja, there are different villages that are named after Krishna's pastimes. And this was done by Brajanabha so many thousands of years before. So, in any case, Sanatana Goswami was performing Braj Mandal Parikram. And he would stay in one town after another town. He would walk from one place to the next. And he would not stay in any place more than one night. And after staying in one town, when Sanatan would go to another town, what do you think would happen? When he would be leaving one village, all the people from that village would follow him. They would follow him. Why? Because He had stolen their hearts because they loved him, because he was such an exalted, sweet devotee, lover of Krishna. So whether they were young boys or old men, whoever it was, everyone would lose their patience and they would cry when Sanatana was leaving. Everyone, old man, old lady, young man, young boy, everyone would cry. And what do you think Sanatana Goswami would do? Sanatana Goswami himself would shed tears as he solaced them and sent them back to their own homes. And only after they all stopped crying and returned to their houses would Sanatana leave for the next village. So they would walk, accompany Sanatana to the border of their village, and they would all be crying and crying because he would soon leave. And then Sanatana would be crying. And then, as Sanatana would leave one village, he would come to the border of the next village. And all the people in the next village would say, "Oh, look! Here comes Sanatana Goswami! He's coming!" And they would rush out to the border of the village. And they would watch him. And whether young or old or man or woman, everyone would say, "Here is Sanatana." Or if it was Rupa Goswami, they would have similar affection for him. And in this way, everyone would give him so much love. And then Sanatana, they went to welcome him, and Raghava Pandit describes it in this way. When they saw Sanatana, the villagers could not sit in one place, but went to welcome Sanatana. Just as a poor man experiences unlimited happiness if he suddenly obtains a valuable jewel, so the Brijbasis, by seeing Sanatana, also felt unlimited happiness. The old and very old men and women all treated Sanatana as their own son. Someone said, "My dear son, how did you pass so many days forgetting us, thinking about you?" So he would come, and they would speak to him in this way. "How have you spent so many days without coming to see us? How have you forgotten us? Thinking about you, we were almost dead." Speaking these words, they all looked at the face of Sanatana Goswami. And seeing the wonderful arrangements for his welcome, Sanatana was greatly pleased. The men, women, and youths who were born in that village all had brotherly affection for Sanatana. And someone said, "My dear brother, how are you? You must have forgotten us completely. Why have you become so cruel?" In this way, they all spoke with tears in their eyes. All the young boys and girls came to touch the feet of Sanatana. Although he was tired, he was unable to restrain them. And standing in a distant place out of shyness, the married ladies would take darshan of Sanatana. "O Srinivas," Raghava Pandit said, "just by seeing Sanatana Goswami, everyone forgot even to offer obeisances. Whoever came rushing to welcome him would embrace him. They would take his hand and they would lead him along. And the villagers would jubilantly have him sit under a sacred tree, and everyone would sit around him. They would all bring yogurt and butter and milk from their houses for Sanatana. And after he finished eating, they would all sit happily with him. And out of his great affection, Sanatana would speak to them. He would say, 'How many children do you have? How many sons? How many daughters? Are your daughters married? Are your sons married? Where were they married? What were their names? What was their education?' He asked how many cows and bulls one had, how their agriculture was, how much grains they produced, and what was their daily routine. He also asked them how their health was and what was their state of mind." Hearing these inquiries,
Raghava Pandit explained. Everyone felt happy. Gradually, each one of them answered his questions. When Sanatan heard someone's distress, he also felt distress. By Sanatan's solace, they felt relief from their distress condition. In this way, they passed the entire night. So he would come, he would leave one village in the morning, and then all the villagers would follow him, and they would be crying, and he would be crying, and then he would say, I'm coming back, don't worry. And then, as soon as he would leave that village, he would arrive at the beginning of the next village, and then the people would say, look who's coming, look who it is it Sanatana or Rupa? And then, they would run out to meet him, and they would bring him back and sit him down and feed him, and they would speak in this way. He would remove all their distresses. And then, because they knew, and they would speak all night to him in this way. And then the next day he would begin to leave, and they would all follow him to the edge of the village. And then when he got to the other edge of the village, all the people from the next village would say, who is coming? Is it Sanatan? Is it Rupa? Then they would rush out to meet him. Then they would bring him and sit him down, and they would speak to him. So in this way, the heart of such an exalted devotee was so attracted to the devotion of the pure souls. And they would say, if you remain here for a few days, it would be auspicious for everyone. Please accept our plea and don't be cruel to us. Please give up your habit of leaving in the early morning and thus save our lives. Speaking in this way, all the villagers cried. Srila Sanatana Goswami Pada ki jai. Sri Manasi Ganga ki jai. Jai Jai Sri Radhe, Jai Jai Sri Radhe, Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Shyam.
One small point about Chakaleshwar over here is that when Sanatana Goswami came here, because he was very fond of Lord Shiva, so he liked to live somewhere near where Lord Shiva was. So he came here, but then he found that there were so many mosquitoes here being on the bank of Manasi Ganga. So he decided to leave and go to another place because it was disturbance to his writing. And so Lord Shiva appeared to him and asked him why he was leaving. So he said he was leaving because of the disturbance caused by the mosquitoes. So Lord Shiva said, then no mosquitoes will ever come in this area again. So one time I came here about 8 years ago, and I asked somebody who was residing on the bank of Chakaleshwar from a long time, I asked him if there were mosquitoes. And he said, there didn't used to be mosquitoes, but now there are mosquitoes. And so I looked at him and he said, this is due to the impiety of the people, the mosquitoes have returned. But actually, they went away from this place just so that Sanatana Goswami would remain close to Chakaleshwar Mahadev. So this is the special nature of the loving exchanges between Lord Shiva and Sanatana Goswami. Thank you. So we can take three drops on the head, and we can bow our obeisances and offer some prayer here to Manasi Ganga if we have something we want. We also should remember we're looking very carefully to create impressions to take back that we can use in our japa. So these stories and places, we have to see them very deeply. Offer our obeisances, take three drops of water on the head, and then we're going to proceed back to the bus. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, just remain seated for one more minute, please. I just want to say how this place came into existence. You know, it's called Manasya Ganga. Manasi Ganga. Mana means the mind, and Ganga, of course, Ganga. Whose mind is it? It's the mind of Lord Krishna who created this Ganga. This is how it has happened. Once Nanda Baba and the other villagers of Vrindavan heard the glorifications of Mother Ganga, there are many, many glories which are very amazing. For instance, it is described that once there was a vulture who was just flowing towards Ganga and died on the way. So when the Ganga, when the vulture died on the ground, because it was on the way to Mother Ganga, he took on his spiritual form, having Mother Ganga in his direction. So Nanda Baba heard such and other glorifications and desired to go to Mother Ganga, and they packed all their things on ox carts and started to proceed to Mother Ganga when Krishna came to know of it and asked his father, why are these preparations made for travel and where will you go? Oh, Lala, Nanda Baba said, we want to go to Mother Ganga and take a bath there. Oh, said Krishna, this is not required. All the holy places are in Vrindavan. Do not worry. To prove this point, that all the holy places are in Vrindavan, Lord Krishna called from within the mind Mother Ganga. He gave a mental order to Ganga Devi to come. And as soon as this was done, there was a rush and crystal clear water came, and in the water, very nicely visible, a goddess was riding on a chariot drawn by dolphins. Chung, chung, chung with the water. The goddess was no one else than Mother Ganga, who came with a flood of water. And the villagers say that on that side here of the Ganga, if you would continue to go look in this direction, you would still see a clearing, so to say, through which Mother Ganga came riding on the chariot and coming accompanied with crystal clear water, and then rushed in here. This is a difference between you and God. When you have a mental order, may I be healthy, or may I earn a lot of Lakshmi, or may this problem be solved. Health doesn't follow your order, and the problems also. But when Krishna gives a mental order, even Mother Ganga follows and comes. So you do not need to take a bath in Ganga. You can come here. Now, to take a very perfect bath, if you want to take a perfect bath, please follow. First, approach the sacred river with a prayer of submission, or we can say, please repeat, Gange cha Yamuna chaiva, Godavari Sarasvatim, Namade Sindhu Kaveri, Jalesmin Sanidim Kuru. It's a prayer to all the holy places. So then you do a prayer, and then you sprinkle 3 drops of water on your head, and now the secrets come. Then you take water and put them on your eye senses. Then you take again water and put them on your ear senses. Then you take again water and zip it, or put it in the mouth. And then you have taken a whole bath, because you have submerged all your bodily senses in the water. So prayer, 3 drops, then touch the water here, here, or the nose, we forgot. The nose, 2 nostrils, and here, and you have taken a whole bath. Krishna. Hare Krishna. The left side must face the worshipable object because the heart is closer to the left side. Our Madhavendra Puri is doing it correctly. Thank you, Madhavendra Puri. You are a twice-born Brahmana. Hare Krishna.